So I called this talk Metaphysics into Practice and Practice into Meaning. I never set out to be a psychotherapist, and after having studied Ibn Arabi for many years and undertaken periods of formal and informal spiritual practice, I found myself in a place where I felt utterly stuck. I consciously and implicitly asked for help and guidance, and was led to undertake training in core process psychotherapy, a Buddhist-based approach, and as according to the taste in the matter that Ibn Arabi brings, the generosity of that gift surpassed all requests and expectation. I was given to take the proposition, know yourself, to mean in detail, and to undertake an interior journey, learning to read directly from the book of myself and in the mirror of relationship. So this talk is not so much proposing a model of psychotherapy based on Ibn Arabi's exposition, though it has significant implications for that, but rather it's to bring out some of the insights that I've been given and to endeavour to bring to words some of the experience of this process of correlation between two profound modes of expression. In this talk, I will be taking some significant quotes from Ibn Arabi and relating them to my experiences in psychotherapy. And as Ibn Arabi was writing in the 12th century and expresses a universal point of view through the culture, language and religious ethos of his time, it might be helpful before we begin to clarify some aspects of the language. And some of you may be very familiar with his works, but for those who aren't, it might be helpful. Ibn Arabi refers to the one absolute being, sometimes as God, or with different pronouns, such as he, him, we, and I. In this context, the pronoun he, as translated from the Arabic, does not carry such a strong gender implication as in the English. Also, the word for self in Arabic is nafs, which will occur in this talk. And though the meaning of his words is clothed in a different form from our modern day idiom, I hope to show how the universal meaning in them potentially touches the very heart of each and every one of us. I would also like to add that as a therapist, I am working with people who find themselves in a place whereby they have intention and commitment to transforming themselves and their lives. I liken this to what Dogen, a 13th century Zen master, referred to as the emergence of the way-seeking mind, which for him arose when he realized the impermanence of everything. Perhaps it is that way-seeking mind that has emerged in each of us and brought us all here today. In both my desire to write this and in the quality of listening, for intention is the necessary quality in the therapeutic process, as in all spiritual aspiration. So, psychotherapy is concerned with everything to do with being a human being. And Ibn Arabi's universal perspective takes it way beyond the merely psychological. He says in the Kernel of the Kernel, quote, "A hadith explains the purpose of being in this world thus. I was a hidden treasure and I love to be known. And I created the creation so that I be known. This order is like this, but to know God is not an easy matter until one becomes a knower of oneself." Unquote. I would like to explore here some of the ideas that can arise around the idea of self. There has been much written about the self in psychology. Often it is taken to mean ego, with negative connotations. Some of the definitions in the dictionary relate to pride and self-importance, or of a self distinct from the world and other selves. It is also referred to as the psyche, that is conscious, that most immediately controls thoughts and behaviour, a conscious thinking subject and self-individuality. In many places I have heard spoken of or read about the self as understood in this way, as an obstacle on the spiritual path, as something negative that needs to be tamed, restrained, and even killed. Or the self as an obstacle to union, or as that which contains all the lower qualities as distinct from the higher or spiritual qualities. The self is somehow presented both as an obstacle to and the way to the knowledge of God or reality. This dichotomy inevitably emerges as a kind of constant play on the spiritual journey. I have encountered in my work with clients these two distinct aspects of either avoiding negative qualities of the self by transcending away from them and then only affirming the good or the positive, a kind of spiritual bypassing that leads to an incongruent and partial sense of self, or the opposite, a self-perpetuating involvement with the obstacles in the nafs, an endless psychological cycle that tightens the knots even tighter. It is apparent that both aspects are needed, and one without the other leads to efforts to impose on ourselves our own idea of a spiritual order, which Trogyam Trungpa, a Tibetan Rinpoche who was instrumental in setting up Sami Ling, Trogyam Trungpa referred to as spiritual materialism in his book Cutting Through Spiritual Materialism. He says, quote, "We have come to learn about spirituality. I trust the genuine quality of this search, but we must question its nature. The problem is ego can convert anything to its own use, even spirituality," unquote. And then also, quote, "This rationalization of the spiritual path and one's actions must be cut through if true spirituality is to be realized," unquote. Hakim al-Tamidi, who's a Persian Sufi, a forerunner of Ibn Arabi, said, quote, "He who has eyes to see without deluding himself knows that the obstacle of the self will not be removed by the knowledge of the self or by blaming the self. Only the creator of the self can eliminate it. He who knows this takes refuge in him, without whom there is no refuge." Unquote. So what is the knowledge of the self that we are concerned with here? What is fundamental in coming to this meaning is embodied awareness, and the kind of attitude that this leads to. This awareness is not just a kind of cognitive understanding like a light bulb in the head. It is a process of bringing the mind into the body and has a quality of awareness of the whole being. Through it, one comes to submission to the present moment and the possibility of touching the eternal now. This awareness doesn't reject or grasp anything, but is firmly established in presence. It is both choiceless and has active intention. It doesn't judge or try to fix anything, but simply witnesses what is and penetrates to meaning. This aspect of witness is integral to embracing this dichotomy encountered in approach. This aspect of witness is integral to embracing this dichotomy encountered in approaching self-knowledge. For a witness is both present in the happening and at the same time has a foot outside that is placed in a different paradigm. This is essential for any transformation or penetrating insight that cuts through delusion. Being established in such a place and being given through my work the opportunity for constant practice has been an invaluable blessing. It is embodied awareness that both opens and illumines the book of ourselves and is the foundation for the relationship in all therapeutic alliance and self-inquiry. There have been certain sentences and verses that have been the objects of contemplation for me over many years. And one of these is from the chapter on Hud in the Fusus al-Hikam. Quote, "As there is no other thing but his manifestation in everything that is manifested, he is manifested. And if you deny him in any manifestation, then you deny his absoluteness. With the amount of things you deny, equally so much of his higher ankathira is diminished from you. He gives wisdom to whom he likes, and when he has given wisdom, great good is established." Unquote. So I'll read that again. Higher ankathira means great goodness. So, as there is no other thing but his manifestation in everything that is manifested, he is manifested. And if you deny him in any manifestation, then you deny his absoluteness. With the amount of things you deny, equally, so much of his higher ankathira is diminished from you. He gives wisdom to whom he likes, and when he has given wisdom, great good is established. This has profound meaning for psychotherapy and for engagement with the spiritual life. For it has become apparent to me that the places where we most deny the reality is ourselves. And the things that we most deny are all those things that are consciously or unconsciously considered other than or obstacles to the knowledge of God. If we are not to deny his absoluteness, then we are obliged to find a way of embracing all that we find manifested in ourselves according to this meaning. It is perhaps that we do not recognize this in certain places because they are in need of insight or of being compassioned and transformed. It is aspects such as these that people bring to psychotherapy and wherein the mystery of suffering lies. The meaning of the self, according to Ibn Arabi, is encapsulated in what he explains here from Revelations from Mecca. Quote, "The prophet said that there is no path to the knowledge of God except through knowledge of the self, nafs, saying, the person who knows their self knows their Lord. He also said, the better you know yourself, the better you know your Lord. So he made your knowledge of yourself a guide or a sign to your knowledge of him. This is either because he has attributed to you the same essence and qualities which he has attributed to himself and has made you his vice-regent and deputy on earth, or it is because you have poverty and need of him in your being, or it is inevitably the two things together, unquote. So I'll read that again. The prophet said that there is no path to the knowledge of God except through knowledge of the self, saying, the person who knows their self knows their Lord. He also said, the better you know yourself, the better you know your Lord. So he made your knowledge of yourself a guide or a sign to your knowledge of him. This is either because he has attributed to you the same essence and qualities which he has attributed to himself and has made you his vice-regent and deputy on earth, or it is because you have poverty and need of him in your being, or it is inevitably the two things together. So another way in which we can deny his manifestation in ourselves is in not accepting the meaning of what it is to be a human being that is implied here in all that is attributed to us as vice-regent. The implication here is profound and far-reaching and brings to light such ideas as man is the image of God and the microcosm in the microcosm in the macrocosm. And it implies that knowledge is not something appropriated or acquired, but rather a process of self-realization, and that all we see outside of ourselves and in our interior is a mirror to that potential, whether it is in the imaginal or the sensory realm or the mirror of each other. Perhaps the greatest humility is in being large enough to accept the grandeur of our potential and the responsibility, dignity, and discrimination that it entails. In a sweet poem by John Betjeman, he expresses how God has the greatest humility. For he brought himself to be lowly and appear as a baby in a manger. There is no quality that we can take exclusively to ourselves, not even this quality, unless we accept it as an aspect of a total identification. It is said man is the manifested consciousness of God. In this way, the whole of Ibn Arabi's metaphysics is a description of ourselves, and it is in the book of ourselves we find the meaning. How does this relate to the practice of psychotherapy? To bring our limited self-concept into relationship with such a universal paradigm is already transformative. The process becomes a mode of inquiry, not stopping at the surface of our limited self-concept, but discerning and penetrating to the meaning where this ultimate identification lies. It is in this identification that wisdom is given, and what appears as pathology is transformed. I am reminded here of the verse from the Quran. It says, he changes their vices into virtues. For from this point of view, there is nothing intrinsically bad in itself. It is just that it is not recognized for what it is. And I often find myself asking of those rejected places in myself and others, what is the wisdom in this? With the certainty that there is nothing that cannot be redeemed in the light of this truth. Ibn Arabi refers to our partial self-concept and this universal meaning in a verse in the Kernel of the Kernel. Quote, you thought yourself apart, small, whereas in you there is a universe, the greatest. Unquote. So you thought yourself apart, small, whereas in you there is a universe, the greatest. Here we are left in a paradoxical place, in that the greatest universe referred to here is unknowable, in the sense that it is infinite and beyond conception, while at the same time it is known as our very being, so we both can know ourselves and are unknowable. This has two particular implications for psychotherapy. The first is that each of us in our being has innate wisdom. I have observed how everything moves towards healing and self-realization. We can see this very clearly in the body when we cut ourselves and the immediate healing that happens. You can just observe it. It is the same in the nafs or the self and in all movement towards actualization. So rather than working with pathology or what people think is wrong with them, psychotherapy is a process of working with inherent health or wisdom. Whatever the degree of difficulty that people bring to therapy, they also possess the inherent capacity to resolve it. Bringing awareness to those places that are in need of healing, the knots and oppression in the nafs are relieved. In touching suffering, the implicit request that is contained in it is expanded and the place is compassioned. Whether we realize it or not, everything that comes to us comes from request. The primary request is for the realization of our potential, when it is said that all God does in the matter is say kun, be. It is apparent that this is both a reality on an archetypal level and an ongoing process of being and becoming at every moment. In this way, as Ibn Arabi has said, you have poverty and need for him in your being. And what was seen as pathology becomes a means to uncovering an underlying wisdom and our ontological dependency. The second implication is that this universe, which is our interior reality, is utterly inclusive. From the highest to the lowest, and at every level of being, there is the potential of consciousness for the human being in every possible realm, from the pure intellect of the angelic to primordial elemental consciousness of the minerals. I'm reminded of a Buddhist painting showing the past lives of the Buddha. The Buddhist concept of reincarnation is symbolized by this evolvement from stone to plant to animal to realized person. Psychotherapy that works with a model of self, according to Ibn Arabi's exposition, must engage all these aspects of conscious perception, not only the cognitive. The quality of insight required to penetrate to the knowledge of things as they are, requires an intuition which is similar to mystical perception that Ibn Arabi refers to as direct and beyond reason. Psychotherapy is an interior healing journey that penetrates to the root of the self. The access to this process is through the subtle and energetic body. A conscious perception that integrates all these levels, from the stillness and passivity of stone consciousness to the visceral perception of the vegetative, the instinctual of the animal to the clarity of intellect. This faculty is called felt sense. Well, it's a term that's used in core process psychotherapy. So this faculty is called felt sense. It is also said that the body never lies, and there is a quality of congruence and immediacy of perception given in this way. It is possible to access very early experience, even that of primary experience in the womb and of birth, as a kind of existential insight through felt sense, a kind of subtle and visceral intuition. For in the words of the Zen master Dogen, he says, each moment is all being, is the entire world. Reflect now whether any being or any world is left out of the present moment. As such, our experience is present in every moment, and memory is not found in some old dusty file, but is living in the now, and it is possible to access it and bring it to consciousness. The psychotherapeutic journey is a journey into the unconscious aspects of ourselves. And if the meaning of our lives is self-realization, then we must of necessity meet those things that require completion. I'm reminded of a pen and ink drawing by Rembrandt of Christ entering into hell, a symbolic expression of the complete inclusivity of the complete human being and the healing and transforming power of light. If we are not to deny in any way the possibility of his great goodness referred to in the earlier quote, then we need to shine the light of awareness on all aspects of ourselves, no matter how apparently unacceptable or even unrecognizable as ourselves. Psychotherapy is a kind of acupuncture of the soul, the needle being an unswerving, inquiring, compassionate insight that sees with the eye of meaning. Sara Sfiri, in a paper on the history of Sufism, on talking of the Malamati sheikhs, says that they, quote, are all mystics, seekers for whom direct, numinous experience and psychological transformation, which this experience entails, is the end and meaning of their lives. So I read that again. So the Malamati sheikhs are all mystics, seekers for whom direct, numinous experience and psychological transformation, which this experience entails, is the end and meaning of their lives. Unquote. It is not the purpose of psychotherapy to encounter mystical experience, and much of it entails sharing on a very ordinary human level, though what is referred to here as psychological transformation perhaps touches on the essential meaning of healing the deeper wounds in the psyche. This aspect of embodied awareness is further illuminated in a passage from the chapter on Hood. Quote, the closeness of God to the servant is made clear in the divine reports. The divine reports here refers to the hadith that says, when my servant approaches me with free acts, I love him, and when I love him, I become for him the hand by which he takes and the foot by which he walks. So I start that again. The closeness of God to the servant is made clear in the divine reports. And there is no greater closeness than that his identity, capital H, that his identity is the same as the limbs and faculties of the servant. The servant is not other than these limbs and faculties. So he is a witnessed reality in an imagined creation. The creation is discerned with the intellect, and the real is perceived through the senses and witnessed by the believers and the people of unveiling and finding. For everyone apart from these two kinds of people, the real is intelligible and the creation is seen. I'll read that again. The closeness of God to the servant is made clear in the divine reports. And there is no greater closeness than that his identity is the same as the limbs and faculties of the servant. The servant is not other than these limbs and faculties. So the servant is a witnessed reality in an imagined creation. The creation is discerned with the intellect, and the real is perceived through the senses and witnessed by the believers and the people of unveiling and finding. For everyone apart from these two kinds of people, the real is intelligible and the creation is seen. Unquote. This affirmation completely blows away any idea, explicit or implicit, of any split between the spirit and the body or the mind and the body. It is common to encounter this splitting in my work, which sometimes manifests as dissociation, though I'm sure it is common to all of us to some degree. The body being another place where we subtly and unconsciously deny his manifestation. Yet according to the quote, it is here that there is no greater closeness and identification. Healing this split and integrating the mind and body is an essential aspect of the therapeutic process. Bringing the mind into the body opens up intuitive experience, and we begin to learn to validate experience that is beyond the concreteness of reason into more subtle realms, including those in the symbolic and imaginal, the felt sense, and at times a deep wordless knowing, leading to a deeper and authentic sense of what is. Psychotherapy is an invitation to enter the unknown and uncharted realms of subtle perception, to go beyond the familiar and the known. Transformation requires a kind of death, and inevitably fear and resistance arises. Also, this resistance is often an indication of the real coming to meet us. Resistance is something we all work with on the spiritual path, and working with the defended self on the edge of this resistance is an important aspect of the therapeutic process. I have been given to see that we are relational beings. One could even say that there is one being and relationship. What we experience as a self has no fixity, but is a constant flow of evolving experience. What is understood by the defended self or ego is simply a place that lacks the capacity to receive being. This incapacity comes about in many ways. Often it is because of past trauma or intolerable past experience or attachments and misconceptions. And like a boulder in a river, there accumulates a lot of debris around the stuck place that prevents the flow, and we experience it as fixed and substantial. And on this, we build a lot of conceptions and underlying beliefs about ourselves and the world, which our experience then corroborates. It is not easy to cut through the delusion of these habitual constructs and the suffering that ensues. In my work, I'm constantly confronted by these defended places and the question of how to come into relationship. The qualities of trust, empathy, and unconditional acceptance are essential here. The therapeutic relationship is itself transformative in bringing the habitual and fixed relational patterns into a new relational paradigm. And when that paradigm is established in the meaning of the self, according to Ibn Arabi, there is also recognition on an implicit level. Hakim al-Tirmidhi pointed out that we cannot remove the self, but can only take refuge. The question I constantly ask in relation to my work is, what is it that removes the obstacle of the self and brings us to a place that allows us to truly surrender and be open to real meeting? Recently, a colleague exclaimed to me, "Kindness is a killer. The defended self just doesn't stand a chance." Indeed, there is no end to God's loving kindness, and kindness melts the most brittle and rigid defences. Though, in order to receive we must first have kindness for ourselves to become capable of receiving such love that opens the heart. I'm reminded of Awaisal Qurani, who Ibn Arabi saw as the most perfect example of sainthood. It is described how, from the instruction to give to the first needy soul he met, he gave to himself. There is here only the smallest indication of the wisdom of this saint, yet it serves to us as an example. First, we must encounter our own soul as another, which is also most, and which is at the same time most intimately connected to us, and have compassion for that in ourself which needs compassioning. Here are echoes of the witness place referred to earlier, and how we are witness to our own state. To meet ourselves in this way can be as though we meet ourselves for the first time, a sense of having overlooked what is closest to us, while all the time having tried to find it. In the same way that in our efforts to free ourselves from suffering by ignoring or avoiding it, we end up creating it in our rigid defences. Entering into the self with a light of awareness, we encounter all those difficult and sometimes intolerable past experiences of shame and pain against which we have been so intent on avoiding. In the perception of felt sense, we encounter these experiences as visceral memory and touch and feel the pain as conscious suffering. And perhaps it's here we find the most intimate identification, as expressed in the poetry of Jalaluddin Rumi, where our ultimate reality speaks and says, "I am the pangs of the jealous and the pain of the sick." All is compassioned in the closeness of this essential identification, and here we uncover the most interior place of meeting. In the experience of this intimacy, suffering loses any hint of any punitive connotation, and we can reframe our experience. All that life brings with its trials and tribulations becomes a means to knowledge. As is written in the Quran, we will try them until we know. In the light of this knowledge, we can take on these trials willingly without any hint of guilt or blame. One can also see this as an alchemical process which is concerned with the transformation of lead into gold. And on a spiritual level, Ibn Arabi likens the universe and the worldly life to the crucible where everything is seeking its perfection, which is the purpose of life. Psychotherapy can also be seen in this way, the therapeutic relationship being the crucible or the oven, and the process of being transformation of the self through psychological processes of dissolving, coagulating, sublimating union, etc. I'm reminded of the story of Abraham, who in stepping into the fire found himself in a garden. When we approach the difficulties of life with this kind of understanding, one can gladly open to, rather than defend against, our experience and submit to this transformative process. In attempting to correlate Ibn Arabi's universal perspective with psychotherapy and in myself, I am left with an intuitive vision of how this most beautiful truth is like water in blotting paper, gradually penetrating every aspect of ourselves, and how it is gradually absorbed on many different levels until all is imbued with it, which is our completion. It is this meaning that runs through every place, from the darkest and most terrible, to the insight that frees us from self-oppression, to conscious suffering and the opening of the heart. We have been told The obstacles to the self cannot be removed by blame or trying to fix them, but only by submission to the reality of the self, and that the essential quality of embodied awareness is equanimity and witnessing things as they are without any manipulation. So perhaps all that I can really offer as a therapist in the light of this vision is a quality of penetrating inquiry into the inherent wisdom in everything and the trust and certainty that all is held in uncompromising compassion. Thank you.